Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everybody, Dr. Adam Christman here. With me this week is Dr. Michael Jaffe, and he's the Associate Professor of Small Animal Surgery at Mississippi State University. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And one of the things, you have many topics that you talk about, but today we're going to talk a little bit about the non-surgical management of canine osteoarthritis. So to those of you that don't know, tell us a little bit about, you know, osteoarthritis in general in dogs.
Well, osteoarthritis is something that is generally, everybody's kind of has a vision in their mind of what an arthritic dog or an arthritic person looks like. But at the core of it, osteoarthritis, the true definition is inflammation of a joint. So when we're dealing with osteoarthritis at the basic level, we have to remember that this is an inflammatory condition. And so that's why we treat many of these dogs with anti-inflammatory medications. But anti-inflammatories are only going to reduce the discomfort and alleviate some of the clinical signs to a mild degree. When we are talking about treatment of osteoarthritis in dogs, it really comes down to multimodal management. And with multimodal management, it encompasses a number of different treatment options. Certainly the anti-inflammatory drugs like Rimadyl and Medicam and all those different drugs, which are whichever happens to be your treatment of choice, is an important aspect in reducing the inflammation. But what people forget is there are a number of other important modalities at our disposal that is really important. And in my opinion, the most important thing for these patients is weight management. Many of these dogs are older pets with arthritis and they become less active. And as such, they tend to gain a little bit of weight. Reduction of weight will reduce some of the pressure that they place on these arthritic limbs and take some of the pressure off. So it's super important to get weight off these patients and try to keep them as lean as possible. Now, just like people, diet and exercise is the way to lose weight, you know, at its center. And the problem with these arthritic patients is that exercise becomes very challenging for them because their joints hurt or they gain weight, they're less active, things like that. So controlled exercise is going to be exceptionally valuable for these pets. And, you know, in the form of controlled leash walking, swimming is a great activity for dogs who like to swim. For dogs that are afraid of water or reluctant to swim, then it becomes a little bit more of a challenge. We don't recommend, you know, just pushing them into the pool and getting them swimming if they're nervous about it. But flotation vests or assisted swimming with these patients is certainly valuable. And the nice thing about swimming is that it's a non-weight-bearing activity. It helps take the joints through its range of motion. So it does stretch out the joints. It keeps the muscles toned. There is mild resistance that they work against with the water without putting direct pressure on the joints. So I'm a big advocate of swimming your pet. But in terms of leash walking, I think the most important part of that is to not overdo the activity. My recommendation always is to take your pet for a walk, but still coming home from the walk with your pet leading the way. You know, I know when I take my dogs for a walk, they're super excited. We get them on the leash. They're pulling me, you know, for most of the way. But if I get to a point where they're starting to drag behind me, I've probably overdone it. It's really important for our pets to come home either at our side or still out in front, almost as if they're saying, hey, why are we stopping? I can still keep going. It's kind of like any of us. If we go to the gym and we work out just enough, we're ready to go the next day. But if we really have a hard workout and push ourselves, we may be a little bit more sore the next day and not really ready to go.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And well, you talked about multimodal therapy, so exercise and, you know, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. What are some other non-traditional, or I will say more nutraceutical kind of options that are out there for our patients?
Yeah, and that's a big part of multimodal therapy in terms of supplementation. The most common supplement that we think of is glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. There are a number of different other herbals that people have tried. But the combination of glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate has really shown that it is, probably the better combination. Certainly we include other supplements such as MSM, which are antioxidants, and things such as other herbals, like I know people try turmeric, they try CBD, they try Boswellia, all these things. And they all do have some value in that, but really chondroitin and glucosamine. And what these supplements do is they provide the building blocks for cartilage to promote its normal healthy function. Cartilage has a great deal of water, and as dogs develop arthritis and as they get older, some of the water content in the cartilage dissipates, and the cartilage becomes a little bit more brittle. By supplementing them with glucosamine, chondroitin sulfate, these are the substances in the cartilage that help retain water. So it's natural to assume that these supplements will help promote healthy cartilage function.
And what about omega-3 and 6 fatty acids?
Yep, super important. And the omega fatty acids, the way these work is the omega-6 fatty acids that's present in some of the cell membranes, as the omega-6 is broken down, that's what actually starts the inflammatory process in some of this tissue. The omega-3 fatty acids that we supplement with replace the omega-6s, and it's a lot harder for these omega-3s to break down, so we get less inflammation. So supplementing our patients with omega-3 fatty acids is really a valuable tool in terms of limiting some of the arthritis and the inflammation that they're going to develop later. So I think that's an important part, and it's safe for puppies, especially when you're looking at, you know, young dogs who are diagnosed with hip dysplasia at a young age. Well, they probably don't have arthritis yet, but we know they're going to develop it. So these are some of the things that we can do to try to prevent some of that inflammation and try to promote healthy cartilage through their life.
Nice. And what are your feelings on using acupuncture and laser therapy?
I'm a big fan of it. You know, honestly, I don't do acupuncture myself, but I can't argue with the fact that for 3,000 years, people have been using it successfully. We don't necessarily have scientific data, but we know that it works. So in my opinion, if you've got a pet that's uncomfortable and has an arthritic problem that maybe we can't completely control with conventional medications, it's worth looking at these other modalities in terms of providing relief. Laser therapy and physical therapy in general, I think there's a lot of value there in terms of helping to promote weight reduction. Physical therapy will help with reducing weight. The other part that physical therapy and things such as laser and therapeutic ultrasound and all these other modalities are, is that when a pet is arthritic and they don't necessarily move around as much, their muscles kind of stiffen up a little bit. They develop some fibrosis and some thickening. And again, to use a human analogy, it's as if any of us who, if we haven't gone running or taken a jog for a couple months, and all of a sudden you decide, I'm going to go out, and your muscles are kind of stiff. And if you start stretching and you really notice how tight and stiff your muscles are, well, that's the same thing that happens with our pets when they haven't been exercising appropriately and when they have arthritis. And so some of these modalities, such as the therapeutic laser and the ultrasound and the shockwave therapy and many of these other PT and rehab modalities we use are really, really valuable in terms of helping to promote their ability to get around really nicely, loosen up some of the muscles, things like that.
Yeah, I see in my patients as a general practitioner, just the multimodal approach is really good, like you were talking about. So, you know, I'm a big believer on a good diet, weight loss, nutraceuticals, so some sort of like a supplement like Dasyquin, Cosequin, those kinds of things, and laser therapy, acupuncture, the treadmill, water therapy, hydrotherapy. Yeah, I think all of those are great modalities just to help improve their joints a little bit and improve their quality of life.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, at the end of the road, there are some patients that we just can't completely treat with medical management, and we do have surgical options at that point. You know, obviously as a surgeon, I'm able to do these surgeries, but I'm also, it's my goal to try to avoid having to put pets through, you know, pretty radical procedures like joint replacement or ostectomies like FHOs or other procedures that we do, which in my opinion are really salvage procedures, but they're also therapeutic in that they get these pets back to moving around more comfortably. They all do require some degree of PT and rehab post-op. So it's not just a slam dunk. We throw a new hip or a replace a knee and off they go again. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done afterwards, but at least we take away some of the discomfort of the bone against bone rubbing that a lot of these dogs experience.
Nice. Well, yeah. Well, thank you for all you do, Dr. Michael Jaffe. Before I let you go, you got to tell me your favorite dog breed.
Well, my wife would kill me if I didn't say a bloodhound. We had a bloodhound for 11 and a half years, and we just put him down a few months ago for a cervical disc issue, but he was the love of my family's life. So I have to say bloodhounds.
I love them. I'm so sorry for your loss, but yeah, they are amazing dogs, right?
He was a good boy. Otis was his name.
I loved it. Thank you so much. Dr. Jaffe, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.